Greetings again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the 2008 National Conference for the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. And what I want you to do is to look up here and see what the sign says. They are welcoming us to the men's fellowship meeting. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, part of this deep joy that I'm experiencing is for 20 years ago, God showed me that the day would come. I told you that forerunner spirit. He showed me the day would come when the full gospel businessmen would invite wives to come into the meetings. This is fulfilled prophecy. If God is in the earth putting husbands and wives as well as other couples, you know, two people in ministry together, he doesn't usually just send them out in ones. He sends them out in twos. When he does this, if he's doing this in the earth and we have full gospel businessmen meeting here and then we have a GLOW meeting over here, God did that work, and that's another part that I was talking about. He's fulfilling some things. That'll still go on, but he's fulfilled a season. Now he's going to begin like pioneers. We're pioneering this thing, beginning to say, look, if God is working with husbands, like the worship team, husbands and wives together, Graham and Linda working together. I mean, it just makes sense that you invite the women to come in to the businessmen's meeting. And I am extremely grateful for that. To carry a word of God in your heart for 20 years and then see it fulfilled brings extreme joy. So, this is an extremely important time in history. We are making history. And all of these fellowships may not include women. You're a pioneer group. But we are seeing across the world some are beginning to include women. This is something God is doing in the earth. And I praise him for it. And thank him that he is beginning to show us again, as it is in Scripture, the importance of families working together. Now, I realize there's been a lot of input from me. There's been a lot of input from others. But at the same time, if we can just really focus for just another hour and a half, we're going to be free till 7 tonight. Free until 7 tonight. Listen. Now, I see you as generals in God's army. I know you accomplish great things for God, and I'm grateful for that. I'm a foundation builder. We have talked about the importance of once you get saved, you start this intimate relationship. These last two sessions, we've been learning how to increase our ability to hear from God. Foundational things. We've got to have that set in place. But this afternoon, I want us to build so that we will be fully equipped to accomplish supernatural things. And that is the anointing. The anointing. The anointing of God destroys yokes of bondages. Are you interested in exploring, not only exploring it, but actually being empowered with fresh oil to accomplish more than you have ever seen in your entire history? I get extremely excited about this subject because Isaiah 10:27 says that the anointing destroys yokes of bondages. I have seen in this very room today probably some of the strongest bondages on people that I have ever seen in my entire life. I mean, One, your word was just right on. It was right. You encouraged. Someone in here has lost her husband 2 weeks ago. Not just that, but she's just got a mountain of things that she's having to deal with other than the fact that her husband died 2 weeks ago. Your word encouraged her, and I know that was a right on word. And thank you for that. So when I am facing someone that has these insurmountable issues, without the anointing, I feel totally helpless. So that situation actually increased the fire inside of me that this subject needs to be taught so that all of us will feel fully equipped to destroy these yokes of bondages so that people are not dying when it's not their time to die. This was not his season to die. The enemy got him. But you're talking about putting a fire in each of our hearts to say, we're not going to continue to let these things happen. We're going to learn. That's why this season of preparation is so important. It happened to a woman in this very room, her husband, 2 weeks ago. This is getting close at home, you know? So know that the empowerment is here for you to be transformed into accomplishing greater works than I have ever done, greater works than I have ever seen. Jesus said, every generation builds on the other, and you will accomplish even greater things than you could ever imagine that God would do through your life. Is that a subject you're interested in? You want to go there? All right. Turn with me to John 14. John 14, verses 12 through 17. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, you shall do. And even greater works than I have seen. Because I go to the Father, and whatsoever we ask in his name, he says, I will do it. God always demonstrates scripture. I don't think I've ever been in a meeting where scripture was brought forth that he didn't demonstrate what was taught. That's God's job. And he is saying that this afternoon, what he wants to accomplish is, if you ask him, he will do it. But you've got to ask in the name of Jesus. The reason he wants to do this is because it glorifies the Father. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, if you keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide within you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. The world does not even understand the Spirit of truth. They can't receive it because it seems to them that it's neither something that's inside of them. It doesn't seem to be something that dwells inside of them. But it does reside inside of you. The truth of God is inside of you. We can expect the greater works. I mean, we can expect dead people to be raised. I fully expect that to happen. It's been prophesied over me that I would pray for someone that's dead. They would be raised to life again, and an entire village will come to know the Lord. But they said I would have gray hair when that happened. You know, so I'm practicing now. I'm just practicing. Okay, so when I have fully gray hair, I will raise the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can begin to expect those kinds of things to happen in your lifetime. So let's just think about some questions about the anointing. Some of the things that may be going on in your mind and your heart would be, what is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Who do you know that is truly anointed? Think about it in your mind. Now, just think about somebody that you know that you're saying they are just truly anointed. And how is this anointing noticeable? I mean, how do you know it? If you have two people, I mean, how can you tell if there's an anointing or not? What is the difference between an anointing that's on the inside of a person and the anointing that is upon a Christian? How can you get more of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And if you got it, why do you need it? If you get this anointing, why do you need it? What are you going to do with it when you get it? I'm sure these things have crossed your mind before. But I've done some study on this, and I want to just tell you some of the things that I've learned. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little story about this ant. This ant was carrying a piece of straw. And this piece of straw just almost seemed to exhaust this ant. Just crawling and, oh, this straw was so heavy for him. This ant was thinking, what am I going to do? He pulled and he tugged and he huffed and he puffed until he was just almost out of energy, he said. To make matters worse, he had this crack to cross. He just didn't have a clue as to how he was going to get across that crack with this straw in his hand. But somehow another, after some delay, he thought, you know, if I take that straw and lay it down, I might just get on over this thing right quickly. And that's what he did. So the thing that was an extreme obstacle, the thing that was a heavy burden in his life, actually turned out to be the track that the Lord used to bring incredible anointing and blessing into his life. That's oftentimes the case with each of us. It was for me, and I believe it would be for you. That whatever that obstacle, see, that obstacle that you just keep trying to get over, today God's going to show you how to be like that ant. Take that straw and make a bridge. And make a bridge so that you are not only overcoming getting across, but you now have learned some things that are going to affect other people about how to turn their obstacles into powerful blessings and anointings. So what is the anointing? You know, we don't want to just use so many religious terms, and we're trying to get away from so many religious terms and making them more practical. I'm still working on that. But if I were going to think of two or three just practical words that the anointing is, love would be one of them. It's the love of God that just exudes out of the person. It is the power of God, this Acts 1:8, the power of God that transforms things from weakness to strength to from desperation to finding answers and solutions. It's just power that transforms into abundant living. We're not supposed to just live. We're supposed to live abundantly. So there's love and there's power and there's the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, we can become saved and have Jesus in our heart, but it is a process. As we're yielding more to Him, He's becoming more alive into our temple. So the anointing is, and that's the topic today, the anointing is the love and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a look at the anointing in the Old Testament. It usually came upon someone and in a specific place or a specific time. A specific place or a specific time. Well, what if you wanted to be anointing and it wasn't the right time or the right place? You had to wait. So in other words, you had to have a title in order to get the anointing. Now keep in mind, this is a major transformation of what's happening in this season. The anointing generally has rested on someone in an office, a pastor or priest or prophet or whatever. Now the Lord is saying, oh, this supernatural work is so big that I've just got to get all these ordinary people anointed to do the work of God. So that's the winds of change. That's the shift that we're in now. You need to help the people that you're in contact with to know that they're the army now. This end time revival is not going to be big name people. God will be using ordinary people to accomplish his plans and his purposes. So the paradigm shift. The Old Testament was certain time, certain place. That's not the case now. You could even get the anointing this afternoon. You know, it's exciting to know that you can expect it and believe that you can go home with an empowerment that will make you transform your situation from desperation to answers. Examples of the anointing upon people now, upon them in the Old Testament. Let's just take Abraham. What was it like for Abraham? I mean, we may think that from early on, Abraham just had this anointing on his life. Would you realize that that was not the case? Have you thought about how old he was when the anointing came on him? 99 years old. I mean, probably when most people think life is at the end, at least almost at the end, the anointing came upon him and he says, by the way, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I mean, that's like birthing a whole bunch of people into the things of God. So he was 99 years old. We should never think that time is over, that we didn't get it in time to do what needs to be done. He was 99 years old. And that's Genesis 17 now. Write it out and study these later, but it's Genesis 17, 1 through 8. He experienced a name change. See, he was Abram. And then at 99 years old, the Lord says, now, your name changed. You're Abraham now. Father, your name means father of many nations. Number two, Jacob at the brook of Jabbok, Genesis 32. His name was changed from Jacob, which means that he was a deceiver. It was changed to Israel, which means those who persist with God. Persist with God. Number three, Moses at the burning bush was 80 years old. Exodus 3. Samson, on the other hand, was anointed at birth. Judges 13. Isn't God a God of variety? Some are old, some are young, some are in the middle age. Isaiah was anointed while worshiping in the temple. Isaiah 6. The anointing just fell on him while he was worshiping. And we see that oftentimes in our meetings, that the anointing just chooses to just fall on somebody. Number 6, Jeremiah was anointed as a fetus in the womb. Before Jeremiah was ever born, he had an anointing to fall on him that he would speak prophetic words to the nations. Jeremiah 1, 5. You can ask the Lord to give you a word for those unborn children, grandchildren, whatever, friends. He can give you a word for them when they're still in the womb. You want to be sure you're hearing from God. You don't want to direct a child into being a doctor if he's supposed to be a musician. I mean, you know, that can you know, be a little hard on the child. So you want to make sure you're hearing. Also, number seven, David was called in from the field. It's like, hey, David, come on. Come on in out of the field. He was a teenager. And he said, when he came, called him in out of the field, he says, I want to anoint you with oil. God has special plans and purposes for you, David. You'll just bring an army of God's people together. And many times I've seen people with the name David, they do. They just have an army of people that they are influencing and impacting. That's 1 Samuel 16, 1, and then 7 through 13. Oil was most often used to symbolize the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, that was something that you could actually see. You could see the oil, feel the oil, smell the oil. And sometimes when people are going from not knowing about the anointing, they sometimes needed something visible that they could, the fragrance, the touch, all of that. And that was most often used. In the New Testament, oil is still used. You know, James 5, it says, get the elders of your church to get their oil and go out and lay hands on the sick. So it is still used today. Now let's take a look at the anointing in the New Testament. Remember, in the Old Testament, it would just come and go, you know, depending on the time or where they were, or what a come and go type thing. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He was anointed at his baptism. That was a special time and a special place. But the difference is there was no limit to the Holy Spirit's power in his life. From the time he was baptized, it was never a small amount or a large amount. It was always the supernatural power of God. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to all of the believers to live inside of them and also to rest upon them. So Pentecost is that historical event that said from this day on now, you have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit in you and on you. And this is also that new era that Joel foretold. He said the day is coming where people will operate in that Acts 1:8 power. And we're beginning to see that happen now. Okay, now let's take a look at how the anointing was transferred. There are different ways to transfer the anointing to someone else. Even then and now, these are similar ways. This is some of the ways they did it, some of the ways it can be done today. Number one, by the laying on of hands, Acts 19, 6 and 7. You know, you have someone to come forward and you lay your hands on their forehead. Just touch them on the forehead and the anointing is transferred. And what happens is all of the gifts are stirred up within you. It may be that you could... all of a sudden you have this writing in you, but it's never been able to come out. It has a channel to come out after the anointing. It may be that you've never written a song before, but you get the anointing and all of a sudden you're able to write a song. There's some of you that may have creative ideas that you've never had, business, creative ideas that you've never had before. That's what the anointing does. It gives you extra wisdom, extra guidance. It's an incredible, incredible equipping of God's saints to have this anointing. So the number two would be by the oil. Some people just carry the oil around in their bag. Some people carry it around with their Bible. But always available if you run into somebody that needs a healing. Oh, by the way, I have some oil. May I pray for you? So you have to, there again, you've learned to hear from God, so you have to hear, am I supposed to lay hands on? Am I supposed to do the oil? What am I supposed to do? Number three, by breathing or blowing on them. The anointing is transferred by breathing and blowing on people. The breath of God. The breath of God is the anointed one breathing the love and power and presence of Jesus into someone's life. That's John 20, 22. Number four is even a shadow. Even someone's shadow. Peter is an example in Acts 5, 14 and 15. A shadow. Somebody just actually walked across that shadow to get healed. Number five, by speaking words. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. The scripture is full of the ways Jesus did it. I mean, he didn't spend hours and hours and hours trying to get somebody healed. He said, hey, rise up and walk. He's back to the text message again. I mean, you know, he was really short with those things. Rise up and walk. He said, you can do it. You can do it. So speaking words would be Acts 10:44. The importance of words. Number six, by singing praises and praying. Acts 16:25 and 26. By singing praises and praying. This is another way the anointing is transferred. Let's just say you have a worship evening and you are just really entering into worship. That anointing can be transferred to you by being in that atmosphere. These are exciting days to know that these kinds of things are available for us. Then number seven, another way is a cloth, fabric. Let's just say you have a friend that really needs to be healed. You can bring a cloth into a meeting, have it prayed over, handkerchief or fabric, take it back to the person, and they can be healed. We need to let our faith level rise up to the point to believe that these things can happen. Now, there are two kinds of anointings. There is a permanent anointing that we get at when we're saved. I mean, you know, when we get saved, there's this permanent anointing that rests inside of us. But see, when we first get saved, it's there, it's permanent, but it's just sort of, you know, it has to be developed as you use it. God has it that way. If you don't use it, it may not be strong. But if you use it, it gets stronger and stronger. Another anointing is a temporary anointing. You have an anointing, comes upon you. I think an example was Peter's shadow. He didn't have it all of his life, you know, like always walking with a shadow. It just came upon him. That shadow was there. Somebody got healed. This Holy Spirit comes upon us maybe for a task. And then it may, because see, if you're under the anointing all the time, it can burn you out. So that's why he says there has to be a day of rest. You want to do ordinary things. That's why from 4 to 7, ordinary things, you know. You want to let your mind rest and your body get refreshed and get ready for other things at 7. This temporary anointing is still important. Because let's just say you have this time where you are anointed for 10 minutes. But it's like it gives you a hunger and thirst for more of those kinds of times. So just know that God knows what he's doing, whether it's temporary or permanent. And it often falls suddenly upon someone. It can come suddenly upon someone. And I noticed that happening in the very first time we were together this week, on Friday afternoon. I noticed it suddenly falling upon one of you in this room. Another way that I just want to make sure you understand all these things. I mean, for us, we see it a lot, but I don't know if you know this or not. When the anointing is on somebody, let's say you're praying for someone, you can see the anointing on them. Their eyes, especially if you, their eyes will be closed sometimes if you're, you know, say, let me pray for you. Their eyes will be closed, and it's like their eyes are just dancing back and forth because the Lord is doing a work in their heart. It's like spiritual surgery, but the way you can tell is by looking at their closed eyelids. Another way you can tell is their countenance changes sometimes. I mean, they could just be so fearful, just, you know. You bless them with the anointing, and their whole countenance just turns into peace and joy and the presence of God. So you want to be attuned to what you're seeing, too. God is a God of vision. He's a visible God. I mean, he's invisible, but he's visible. I see him in so many situations. And I want you to be encouraged to look. You know, the scripture talks about watch and pray. You know, we don't have to every time close our eyes. We can sometimes watch and pray and watch and see what God is doing. Now, the anointing today, there are four purposes of the anointing. Number one, it is a seal of ownership. We belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. We belong to the Lord. Because he has a seal of ownership. He has made a deposit into our lives. Number two, the reason he gives us God's power is to do God's work. Acts 1:8. And it's especially to witness to others. Because, see, you're learning things this afternoon. You've learned some things yesterday. We want to be sure to give out to others these things that we're learning. As you find somebody else that needs to know the things that you're learning, you will be amazed how much stronger that anointing is going to be in your life. Number three, the anointing teaches us. We can expect to be taught by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27. And I love Isaiah 10:27, that the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. That happened in my life. You remember I told you in my testimony, I had all the doctors, I had just shared my entire history. This was a time where I went to this meeting. This person did not have a clue even why I was there, except that there was a need. Touched me on the forehead, and I experienced the Isaiah 10:27, the anointing destroyed all of those yokes of bondage in my life. One touch from the Master's hand totally transformed breast tumor, total body numbness, potassium deficiency, speaking in tongues, which I didn't even know what it was at the time. Started speaking in tongues. I had to ask somebody, why am I doing this? What is this? It was a wonderful, wonderful encounter with the Lord for him to love us so much that he's such a personal God that he knows without the whole history. He wants to do those same things for you. He wants to totally answer the cries of your heart. And we're in the right atmosphere now more than ever before to find the answers that we're looking for. So this Isaiah 10:27, it destroys. There's sickness, disease, there's deception of a lost person, there's poverty. All this stuff can be broken through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So what yokes would you like to see broken in your life? I know they're yokes because God's people, God's army, it seems to be a characteristic that there are many yokes to overcome, many bondages, many, not just from the evil one. I'm talking about it's just, it happens to us that we have these obstacles to overcome in order to embrace more of what God is calling us to do. But he is faithful to show us each one of those things, how we can overcome. Because if you don't have a test, how are you going to be an overcomer? It takes a test. It takes a trial for you to find out if you are an overcomer. But I see you in here are overcomers. You're the ones that are going to find out all these tools you need in your bag to say, I'm going to be fully equipped to see supernatural things happen through our lives. Now, if you're like me, you would be asking the question like, well, look, the anointing is just wonderful, but how do I increase it? Because see, you've experienced the anointing. You know a lot about the anointing. But I know if you're like me, you want to know, is there anything that I can do to increase the anointing on my life? And I also would like to say that those that are listening by technology, you also will experience the very same anointing that's happening in our room today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a constant. He's always the same. Even through technology, people can experience this anointing for their lives and their ministry and their families. And I thank Him for that today. So anyone that's listening today that wants to increase the anointing, number one is brokenness. Nobody wants to be broken. Ouch, that hurt. Lord, I don't like this. Why are you doing this to me? It hurts. So it deals with the flesh, the emotions, your habits, what you've been doing before. All of these kinds of things are touched when He breaks us. But He knows what He's doing. Almost, I would say, every person in this room has experienced brokenness. But when we experience brokenness, we have a heart to reach out to those that are being broken to help them be more than they were before they were broken. So in this broken state, there's a death experience. We're dying to self. We're saying, yeah, screaming all the way down, don't like it. But the Lord just says, look, it's good for you. You're going to be better because of this. And through that process, there's a yielding to the Holy Spirit. He finally has His way with us. Okay, Lord, that's enough. Okay, I'm yielding. And once we yield, the journey is so much smoother for us. See, that's what He's after all along. He's got your heart. He grabbed you even at a young age. But a lot of times some of those struggles are because we don't want to yield to the brokenness. But He said He's doing a quicker work. He's allowing us to fully embrace the love, the unity, the empowerment, the anointing things. So we are going to be fully equipped for the generations that are coming. Now, I know you don't want to hear this, but persecution actually increases the anointing. So you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Count it all joy. Oh, my. You want the anointing. You want these kinds of things. It's never easy to be persecuted. But you learn to say, okay, Lord. Okay. I know. You've got my number again. Okay, here we go. And He will increase the anointing on your life. He'll give you extra wisdom somehow through the process. Number two, to increase the anointing of God on our lives, we need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. See, even the blessing, as we are speaking the blessing, it is just another way to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. I want to give you a little tool. Or another way to put it for women is to help you have a full stock, well-stocked pantry, is when you are blessing your husband, some more vocabulary to use would be Psalms 1, 1, 2, and 3. I just sense that many of your husbands are those husbands. You'll know if that fits you or not. I know that fits Linda. I know that fits, that your husband Graham is a Psalms 1:1, 2, and 3 man. But you've got to discern if that fits your husband. But that is a good place to start. If he's not quite there yet, you can pray that he will get to that. That is a good goal, that your husband will become a Psalms 1:1, 2, and 3 man. Men that are planted by streams of water, that they bear fruit in God's season. We've all been there where we just wanted fruit. We didn't care if it's winter, summer, spring. We didn't care. We just wanted fruit. He says, no, the fruit needs to be in God's time, God's season, and that whatever he does prospers. These men need our blessings because they're doing the best they can and they're doing a wonderful job. But at the same time, they can do it. Even every man that's represented from our relationships in our lives can do a better job if we're blessing them. It's our job. We are commanded to do this. We don't have an option. It's not like if you feel like it. If you get up on Monday and you feel like it, hey, bless your husband. No, he didn't say that. He says you're commanded to. So you want to look for those teachable moments. It may be birthdays in your family that you start out. It may be every day a blessing, maybe a little like a river flooding your home, you know. But you may want to start with, I'm going to bless my husband on his birthday. Or I'm going to bless my grandchild on his birthday. So you look for those times in your situation that works for you. It may be in a business where you say on a Friday afternoon, everybody gets blessed. You're creative. You can figure out those things. But you want to put the Word of God into your blessings. Every blessing doesn't have to be Scripture. But at the same time, when you're using Scripture, don't want it to get in the way. Like if you're holding a Bible or you're holding their hand, you know, you want to memorize some of it. So there's another way to put the Word of God in your heart. Think about the Scripture you're going to give him a blessing. Get it in your heart. You're meditating on the Word of God, so therefore the blessing is not only going to help your husband. Look, it comes back and helps you too. So, increasing the anointing, you've got brokenness. Number two, you're saturating your life and your family with the Word of God. What is fed in is what's going to grow. Now, I'm going to give you an example of a black dog and a white dog. The black dog, let's just say, represents darkness. And the white dog represents the things of God. If you decide that you want to just feed your black dog, you are going to be feeding the darkness in your life. But if you make a decision that from this day forward, I want my life to count, I want to make sure I am feeding the white dog at my house, the purity, the things of God that will grow into fruit in God's season. As we're saturating the Word of God, we can be very creative. We can write the Word of God down. For some, it may be, I could never say that to my husband. But you may write down something that he could read when you're not there. You've got to figure out what works in your situation. So if you write down a blessing, it may be a scripture that's right on for him. On the other hand, it may be something as simple as, you are the kindest man that I know. Kindness is a quality that God desires. So no matter what situation you're in, there may be a good work ethic. There may be kindness. There may be, he's a forgiven man. It's like, you've been hurt so many times, but you always seem to be able to forgive. How do you do that? Can you show me how to make it easier? You know, you let him know he's doing something right. What can you learn from that? As you build them up, I guarantee you, you will be blessed in return. So the written word, you've got the spoken word, and the revealed word. Let's just say the Lord gives you a prophetic word for your husband. And you're like, what am I going to do with it? Lord, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't give that to my husband. But the season has come where God may do that. Don't be surprised if he doesn't give you a word, a really, really right on word for your husband. So I release you to be bold enough to either write it or speak it or whatever, to give it up. You can also increase the anointing by prayer. This is a praying nation. I am so grateful for all the people that have lifted up prayers, that have interceded for the things that we are seeing and experiencing. Extremely grateful for that. Prayer has absolutely changed this nation. We can talk to God in two ways. We can talk in English to him, but we also can use our prayer language where it bypasses our brain and we're just using our prayer language to create in the atmosphere the things that the Lord has in mind. When you don't know how to pray, activate your prayer language. You will see results. The other part of prayer, and probably the hardest part of prayer, is listening. We're so used to being active and, you know, but in prayer sometimes we just don't think about the important part of listening to see what the Lord wants to tell us. So in prayer, you don't want to just talk. You don't want to just listen. You want to do both. But the other part of this is, I want to help you to understand that the blessing, an open eye blessing someone, you actually can reap those times of all those prayers that have gone in to the nation. I sense that this is a time of where you, when you bless, you are producing fruit in God's season. It's like the prayers are being answered by some of you speaking to somebody else. So I want to release you to be bold enough to see that this is a season where these prayers are being answered. It may be answered through a spoken blessing to another person. That's another form of prayer. Another form of prayer. Not just a closed eye, but if you speak a blessing to someone, you are hearing from God, being bold enough to give it out, and you are transforming people into the ways of God. Music, number four. Music is another way to increase the anointing. Now, I love to worship. I just love to worship. And I'm sure most of you know that there's praise and there's worship, and there is a difference. The praise is when you are entering into, you have a grateful heart. How do you enter into the presence of the Lord? You start out with praise, which is a grateful heart. You're just so grateful and thank the Lord for all these things that he's accomplishing in our midst, and you're honoring him and giving him the glory for what he's done. And that's the first phase of entering into worship. But then if you'll notice, that next level is you are truly, you can just feel the presence of the Lord so strong, and you're just entering into worship of God. See, you're leaving a little bit more of the world behind, you know. In praise, you can still have the world and praise, you know, sort of thinking about, oh, my roast is burning, Lord, but, you know, those kinds of things. But as you enter on into worship, you are focused on God. You are just basking in his glory and his majesty and the awesomeness of how great this God is. And as you are entering in that realm, the music changes. And this is something that I want to make sure all of us understand, because some of you are worship leaders, is that you want your praise first, and then you want your worship. Because sometimes there's this praise, there's worship, and we go back to praise. But generally, we want to enter into worship. And when we truly, truly can worship the Lord, I see a day coming where he will literally pour his anointing onto God's people. In every need, every situation, as an individual, he will be meeting himself. I see that day. I know it's coming. And I'm looking for people that know how to get there quicker. You know, I see in the spirit what he's doing, but it's like, how do you do it? How do you get there? You know, some of you have pieces to those puzzles. I also want to challenge you that there will be new music written. We're singing songs that some of the songs, I mean, all of us in America too, we're doing the same thing. We sing the songs that we've loved and we've had for some times, but God is now doing some new stuff. And I want to ask the Lord to bless you with new songs in your heart. They're fresh, that something that God is doing in this season, that he will give you the words to it with an anointing on it, the anointing oil on it to bless people, to take the bondages off of their lives through the worship. I see that. I've seen it in other countries where it happens. The worship literally calls in such an anointing that these trappings on people's lives just fall off. And I bless you. I've been so immensely blessed by you and your husband in the worship. Thank you. I know that we all desire more, and I sense that the more is going to be, you will be writing songs. You will be adding words to what God is doing in this nation to bless people. Worship is something that touches our soul. It just stirs our emotions too, so that all of our being is affected for God's kingdom. And that's why it's such an incredible task. And I'm so grateful that we have some youth involved in this worship of our Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting. And may the Lord also put a gathering anointing on you to draw in, as Graham was saying, more of the youth into this. Because before, I don't think our wineskin was ready. The reason some of the youth have been away. But I know now we're learning some principles to enlarge our wineskin so that they will feel that their gifts, their musical gifts of writing music, we didn't have room for it. We had the ones we liked. We didn't want any more. But we're seeing now we need more. And as these needs arise, these young people are coming in with the anointing to do it. They've had the anointing. They've had the desire, but we didn't have room for them in our midst at home. And I've not seen it here in places. So when the Lord anoints these people to come in, the new music, the worship, and understanding the difference in praise and worship, we are going to tap into an anointing that we haven't seen up to this point. Also, number 5 is fasting. When the Lord tells you to fast, not just, okay, church, the whole church is going to fast. My experience has been, if God calls you into a fast, you will see results. But it's like everything else. We've missed it here as well as everything else. I just love one of the stories that somebody told me about. They just wanted fruit. So they just had all these people come to live with them and all this kind of stuff. Well, they just had some fruit, but they had some of it out of the season. But they learned their lessons and they're doing it right now. So the same with fasting. If the Lord tells you to fast, that is a wonderful ingredient in all of this to increase the anointing on your life, to help you to see where priorities are, what needs to happen. But you want to do it right. You want to start out with some liquid, like liquid soup. Something, you don't want to say, I'm going to have a steak dinner and then fast for 7 days. I mean, you want to gradually get into it with a soup or a liquid as you move into your fast. I have fasted for 7 days, and the first 3 days are the only 3 days you feel hunger. After 3 days, you don't feel hunger pains. My experience has been that. So it is healthy to fast. And it also helps you to hear from God to know when. Moses, Jesus, Daniel, the apostles fasted. So they were our role models. Number 6, When we are just truly worshiping God, whether it's in our home by ourselves or we're in a group meeting, corporate meeting such as this, When we are truly focused on God, worshiping Him, His glory just comes into the atmosphere. When His glory comes in, that wonderful presence and the glory of the Lord, we are transformed. What we do is like we've got people that help us get there until we get to that final place where He is actually showing us how to tap into that glory now. The presence of the Lord is a gift that He's given us. When we come together, we experience the presence of the Lord. That is a wonderful gift. And He loves it when we worship Him and give Him all the honor and all the glory for the things that He is accomplishing in our midst. Now, I know that many of you came with a desire for the anointing to be increased on your life. As I said before, I'm a person of now faith. And I'm believing that the anointing of God is going to be transferred to you so that all of the gifts that are in you are going to be stirred up. You are going to experience the things that you've been accomplishing have just been, you know, you've been able to do them, but you knew that they were still, like, it could flow easier. After today, the anointing of God in your life is going to flow easier, smoother, accomplishing more things than you've ever seen accomplished before, all to the glory of God. So what I'm going to do is, the spoken word is what I'm going to demonstrate to you today. While you're sitting where you are, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to take His anointing and just pour His anointing all over you. All over you. Fresh oil, fresh of His love, power, and presence, just all over you. Saturate you into a fresh anointing of God. That your lives will flow out like a river. That rivers of living water. I mean, this is like not old stuff, but new stuff. Just welling up inside of you to teach people, to equip people, to help them worship, to help them see they've got books in there to write that need to come out. Help them see that there's drama that needs to be done, Christian drama, that there's even people that work with people that are not in Christian drama. There are ways to help them be led out into biblical principles. So that anointing is being activated, stirred up in you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to use it. Because remember, I told you, it's not going to happen except it happens through you. The average, ordinary person is who it's going to happen through. All of us are having to get through this idea that it's going to happen through some major person that comes in here and it happened. No. It's going to happen through you. So what I'm going to do is ask the Holy Spirit to give you an opportunity in our few minutes left to actually experience that the anointing is stronger in your life than it was when we gathered before the session at 2 o'clock. So when you get together, again, in a little small group, five people, you will know when you come together how that anointing is to be used. One person may have a question and you'll just have godly wisdom. Another person just may desire to bring forth something that you have wisdom to know how to, with your new anointing. I mean, you've got anointings to do everything in here now. You've got anointings to stronger to prophesy, anointings to, like, you're just pulling things together. It may be a group of five people that get together, you know. You're gifted, it's like you know how to pull it together and bring order and unity and know how to flow with your anointing. You don't have to tell people when they come together how to do it. It's like the gift that resides inside of you knows how to function in your group. So I want to thank you so very much for making a deposit into your life today that I know will make that difference that you have been looking for. I want you to get it out of your head, down into your heart, to believe that it's not going to have to wait till Monday to start being activated. It will be before we leave out of this room, you will be able to have a noticeable difference that your life is making a difference in the life of those four or five people in that circle. Just to report about our last session, we divided it up into the groups like that. And it is incredible to see the difference that it made in the lives of the ones that I saw. Little children, they were just learning to hear from God. I mean, you know, just, you know, like, they would say, I don't know if it's me or God, but it seems to be the Lord would say that I'm supposed to spend a little time with this friend over here this afternoon. They heard from God. That was a right on word, but you start out like, well, you know, I just may be thinking I want to spend time with my friend. But no, she realized that was God speaking to her saying, that's what you need to do. She says, I want to make sure she's enjoying this conference. You know, I mean, she was young. That blessed me so much. And yet another person, you know, that had lost her husband 2 weeks ago. Can you imagine coming into a meeting like this and having a group of three, four people around you that helps you get from all that grief? That's normal. But helping you to make sense out of where you are. With seven children, by the way. Losing your husband and seven children. And a five-month-old in the hospital. I mean, these to me are like overwhelming situations. So that's the first thing I want to do. I want to lift this person up. And every one of you just offer up a prayer. I'm going to lift this person's name up. I mean, you know, this is the one represented here, but I want you to use your anointing first. She's lost a husband. She has seven children and a five-month-old in the hospital. Whatever you feel the Lord saying in your heart toward this person, bless her with that. Many of us have blessed her with words, but I feel that there's an anointing in this room that will continue to destroy some of the yokes of bondage on this life that is in such a desperate situation. Can we do that now? Just where you are, whatever blessing, whatever prayer, whatever you feel you're gifting to offer up to this person that was in this room just a short time ago with such a great need. Thank you very much. And it's interesting how the Lord uses things like that. It's like you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And he was speaking to me and saying that he's working in that situation. And he also spoke to me and said that as we get into these groups, the healing anointing is here to heal. The way I know that is, he allows my hand to burn. It's just, we've worked this out over the years. It's just like, the first time it happened, I was in a Baptist meeting and my hand started burning when we were praising the Lord, and I would go wash them and try to wash it off. I said, what's wrong? Why my hand's burning? And finally, I realized that that's one of the languages of the Lord. He talks to you and tells you these things. And my hand, when it burns in meetings like this, I know he's saying, I'm here to heal. So any of you that you know, you've been healed, you have the healing anointing. If you've been healed yourself, you automatically get the anointing to heal. So as we gather into these groups, we know the anointing is to heal. But another thing is, I don't ever want to have a meeting that I don't ask the Lord to make sure that everybody is saved. We had a PhD that knew he was saved, but he was in a meeting such as this and realized, I thought I was, but I wasn't. So I don't ever assume everybody's saved. So if there's anyone that's not begun that relationship with the Holy Spirit in your small group, you tell that person, today I want to begin my walk with the Lord. And I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord in advance for those that get healed. And I thank the Lord for all of you that were eager enough to sit a little bit longer and to learn a few more things so that you can be more effective in the kingdom of God. I love you, and I thank you for the opportunity to be with you. So we'll close this section out, and then we'll get into the small groups and let God use you, because you can do it. You can make the difference. Okay.
Graham sent my husband an email. It was actually for me, but it was addressed to my husband. And I didn't open it. My husband was in Christchurch, and I thought, well, when he plugs his laptop in Christchurch, he'll see an unopened email and it'll draw his attention to it. He'll open it. Unbeknownst to me, it was actually for me. And so I didn't know about it until he got back to from Christchurch, which was last Saturday, and he said to me, oh, by the way, did you know that email was for you? And I must confess, if I had seen it when Linda had sent it, I would have panicked. But because something had happened in the meantime and I didn't see it until, I didn't know about it till Thursday morning, I was able to say, yes, Lord, I know what you want me to share. And so I'm going to share with you just a little snapshot of a journey that I've had with a particular friend. And, you know, us women, we all have friends that we share with and we pray with, and we have a special relationship with. Well, I'm going to share about my friend and what has happened in recent days. And I've got her permission to tell what has happened, and she said, oh, please tell the world. So the journey goes back. I'm just going to start with Winston Churchill. Those of you who know of Winston Churchill, one of the British great prime ministers. After his illustrious career in politics, he was invited back to his old school, which I think was Eton, and he was asked to speak at the assembly, and he went there and he stood up and he said, never, never, never give up. And he sat down, and that was his speech. And I think my little testimony today is never, never give up praying for your loved ones. We went to live in a town in 1986. This is the beginning of the journey that I went on with this particular lady. And my husband was appointed principal of a particular school. And I was a mother at home with the children. He came home from school one day, and I said, what are the teachers like? And he said, oh, there's one teacher there. You'd really like her. Oh, she's full of the love of the Lord. And I did get the opportunity to meet Mary Ann, and we clicked just like that straight away, and we became very firm friends. We had children that were about the same age. And she was really, had come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and was really excited and alive in the Lord. And unfortunately, her husband, Alan, wasn't in the same place as her, and it was causing a number of tensions in the house. And Mary Ann said to me, you know, I'm actually thinking about leaving Alan. And I said to her, look, I don't think that's the Lord's will. I said, it says in Scripture, the Lord hates divorce. And I said, look, I'm prepared to stand with you on this one. And I said, there's a Scripture that says, and I quote from 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that it is God's will that all men come to a knowledge of him, come to a knowledge of the truth, and are saved. And I said, that means Alan. God wants Alan in the kingdom. And so I said, I will walk this journey with you, and we will pray for Alan, and we will pray him into the kingdom. And so we started a journey together, believing for Alan's salvation. And we had some wonderful times together. We ran a prayer group for young people, for teenagers. We ran a youth group, and we took our young people to outreaches and what have you. And little did Alan know, while we were doing all this, He was actually serving the Lord too, because he babysat our two younger daughters, so helped us to be free to go and do this. So we would say, "Oh Lord, bless Alan while he's doing that job. He's really helping us minister to these other young people." Anyway, we continued to pray for Alan's salvation, and we didn't actually see a lot of change in him. And Marianne occasionally got really quite desperate. She said to me, she must have been 40-ish, I suppose, at this time. She said, "I can't see myself living with this man, darkness and light, for the next 30 years. And we said, "You know, we can't keep sowing God's word unless we come to a time of reaping." So we kept praying. One day we were praying with another friend, and she said, "I think the Lord's spoken to me." She said, "I don't know if you're going to like this, but the Lord, I believe the Lord is saying that Alan will come to him on his deathbed." And she wrote down what she had heard, and Marianne slipped it in her Bible, and she had it there for many, many years. The time came for us to move on from the town we were living in, and we moved to Wellington, which is not very far away, just an hour and a half's drive. And I felt like David when he was separated from his friend Jonathan. You know, that very strong bond that we had and the prayers that we shared, it was very much a wrenching, but we did keep in touch by phone, and we used to ring each other up, and wherever we had a need, we'd talk to each other and say, "This is my prayer need, and what's the Lord saying to you at the moment?" So we still had a lot of fellowship. Anyway, my husband was down in Christchurch. He was being super nanny to my daughter's children while she was recovering from an operation. And I got a call on Thursday a week ago, and it was Marianne. Alan had taken ill after work, and he'd been taken to Masterton Hospital in the ambulance, and they took him out. He'd collapsed. And they said the staff took him in and they put him through the scanner, and Marianne said she could tell by the looks on their faces that it wasn't good. And so they sent for the Westpac air ambulance to come from Wellington Hospital to take him to Wellington, and the staff and Marston said, "Well, he's going to have an operation, and it's fairly major and it's very serious." And the weather was such that the helicopter couldn't land. And so they said, "We're going to have to take you over the Rimitakas by ambulance, and we're actually running out of blood." And so they called for another ambulance to come from Wellington to meet them halfway with more supplies of blood. They were pushing the blood in. And Alan said to Marianne, "I'm scared. I'm really scared." He said, I'm crook. He said, "I think I'm going to die tonight." And Marianne said to him, "Alan, the only one that can help you now is the Lord. Ask Jesus into your heart." And so he did. And he wanted to be sure, so he did it twice. Anyway, they got to Wellington Hospital at 2 a.m, and the hospital staff called Marianne aside and said, "The situation is very, very serious, and we don't think we can save him. He had a 7-centimetre aneurysm. His aorta was bleeding into his abdomen." And they said a strong person would scarcely have a 50-50 chance of surviving the operation. He's not strong. Things have gone too far. They said, "Do you want a chaplain?" So she said, "Yes, please." And they called the chaplain, the hospital chaplain, and he duly came. And the hospital chaplain happened to be He'd been the university chaplain. He was a chaplain to the young people that we had ministered to, so we knew him well. And she wept when he walked through the door, and he came in and he anointed him and prayed over him. By this time he was starting to slip into unconsciousness. And Marianne said, "Oh, he's invited the Lord into his life. Is that enough?" He said, "Yes, it is enough. Of course it's enough." And he said, "But I'm praying here and I really believe the Lord wants me to baptize him." So he was baptized in the ICU at Wellington Hospital last Thursday evening. And he passed away at 6:15 on Friday morning. And I walked through. Marianne had rung me because I live in Wellington, so I had gone in. And Alan was lying there. And I have never seen such peace on a person's face. He was always a fairly lined man, and all that tension and all the stress that he'd carried over the years was gone. And he looked at peace. He'd made his peace with God, and he looked at peace. And we stayed. A daughter flew in from Auckland, and Marianne had her youngest daughter who lived in Wellington there. And we sat there, and we talked to the Lord about the situation, and we thanked the Lord for the fact that Alan had been there for us, and had actually, without really realising, the important part he'd played in supporting us in our ministry. And we were able to bless the Lord, and I was thinking last night, or was it this morning, we were singing that song, "The Lord Gives," from Job. "The Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And we were able to stand by his bedside and say that those words, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And to be able to pray with Marianne and her daughters and say, "The Lord has allowed this. He has already shown you that he's gone ahead of you. Alan could have died, dropped dead, but he didn't. He survived long enough to receive the Lord. He was baptized. The Lord sent the right chaplain in. And the Lord will be with Marianne as she walks her journey." She's only 53, so she's a widow at 53. And I know that the time ahead is going to be hard for her, but she's a strong woman of the Lord, and I know that God's still got plans for her. Amen.